कृष्णप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 3rd chapter, text number 8. Asamuhurta ekasmina.
Asamuhurta ekasmina.
Nanakareshu yoshita.
Nanakareshu yoshita.
Savidham jagrahe panin. अनुरूपः स्वमायया आसम्मुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषितां सविधं जगृहे पाणि अनुरूपः स्वमायया आसाम मुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानाकारेषु योषितां सविधं जगृहे पाणिन् अनुरूपस्वमायया. आसम्मुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषितां अनुरूपस्वमायया आसामुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषितां अनुरूपस्वमायया आसम्मुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषितां अनुरूपस्वमाय. वैष्णवीस् आसम्मुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषितां सविधं जगृहे पाणिन् अनुरूपस्वमायया आसाम. ऑल दोस मुहूर्ते एट वन टाइम एकस्मिन् साइमल्टेनियसली नाना आगारेषु in different compartments yoshitam of the women savidham with perfect rituals jagrihe accepted panin hands anurupah exactly to match Swamayaya. By his internal potency. Translation purport by his divine grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. All those princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by his internal potency. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, the Lord is described as follows in regard to his innumerable plenary expansions. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navayavvanam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajam. The Lord Govinda, whom I worship, is the original personality of Godhead. He is non-different from his innumerable plenary expansions, who are all infallible, original and unlimited, and who have eternal forms. Although he is primeval, the oldest personality, he is always fresh and young. By his internal potency, the Lord can expand himself into various personalities of Swayam Prakash and again into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. And all of them are non-different from one another. The forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princesses in different apartments were all slightly different, just to match each and every one of them. They are all called Vaibhava Vilas, forms of the Lord, and are affected by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsa Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All those princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by his internal potency. We are reading from this chapter, the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. The Srimad Bhagavatam gradually elevates the consciousness of the hearer or the reader to come to the point of appreciating and understanding the Lord in his own right. Otherwise, generally, religion, Prabhupada says, begins with seeking favors from the Lord or seeking protection from the Lord in the time of dangers, which is a very preliminary religion. But more advanced religion, or the most advanced religion, is the Parodharma, where the absorption of a devotee is the Lord himself and his activities, and great appreciation for those activities of the Lord. The religion which is I-centered or me-centered religion, it just doesn't touch the soul at all. That is why ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati, it says. The religion performed without any hetu and without any interruption, even in dangers and trials and difficulties, that religion is the religion which can actually satisfy the soul. So what is the meaning of understanding Krishna in his own right? The very first thing taught in Parodharma is, we are not the center of universe. Krishna is the center. We are only cooperators. We are only meant for assisting the Supreme Lord in his enjoyment, in his wonderful activities, his glorious activities. This is a very foundational knowledge in Parodharma. Otherwise, in general, every living being considers that I am the center of the universe and everyone is supposed to cooperate with me and everyone is supposed to offer me pleasure, including God also. God is no exception. Not only they consider every living being, they consider including God also is one such person. I allow him to exist because he can satisfy my needs. That is understanding. So, Parodharma means understanding that I am insignificant. In fact, if God can kindly allow me to offer him some service, that is a great privilege. He is the center of the universe. He is beautiful. He is strong. He is intelligent. He is wonderful. His activities are all great. So, that type of knowledge, we can't even begin giving to those who don't understand this foundational principle. Only when I came to ISKCON, I first heard this statement that, sense gratification is the root cause of all misery. One who tries to use God as an order supplier will never become happy. So, in this particular verse, we are finding information about how Krishna expands his Prabhava, Vaibhava expansions. And then he says Vaibhava Vilas expansions. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are all very vividly explained. Swayam Rupa, Tadet Katma Rupa, Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Vaibhava Vilas. These are different type of expansion. For example, Krishna sometimes expands as many Krishnas. Sometimes Krishna expands into Vishnu forms also, like in the Leela of Brahma Vimohan Leela. Sometimes Krishna expands into not only Vishnu forms, even various avatars like Matsya Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha. Totally different forms. At least Vishnu forms resemble to some extent Krishna's color, but they have two extra hands. Whereas the avatars, they appear totally different. Like Tiriyan Nararishi Agastu, Tadatyanta Vidambanam. Kunti is telling, my dear Lord, you appear in so many forms in the species of aquatics as Matsya Avatar, in the species of rishis like Naranarayan Rishi. Sometimes you appear like a human being. You know, you appear as Rama or you appear in different forms. So, Lord appears in different species also, like Kurma and all that. So, these are all different type of expansions that Krishna expands himself. For what purpose? The Shastra says many things. One is, these are Lord's Leela Cheshta, the play of the Lord or pastimes of the Lord. The Lord exhibits. And Lord enjoys himself doing these things also. Like, you know, when Kurma is lying under the ocean below the Mandara Parvat, when it was being rotated, revolved, that he felt an itching sensation on his back. So when the mountain moved, the scratching of the mountain gave him great pleasure and in great relief. Like that, he took a deep sigh which caused the waves to come. So, and the waves never stopped ever since. The waves started coming in the ocean. In all the oceans you find the waves. So the Lord delights in performing pastimes himself. And also, what to speak of the Lord delighting himself, the devotees who witness the Lord's activities, they delight even more. Because Lord is the center in their life for a devotee. Just like, you see, the parents like to, you know, dress their child every day with a new color, different type of dress and ornaments, and put powder and different type of hairstyles they make the child. And they are very happy to witness the beauty of the child. Similarly, the devotees like to dress the Lord with different type of garments and garlands and ornaments, outfits in his body. And they delight very, very much in seeing the beauty of the Lord. So they like to make Lord happy and see his beauty also themselves. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are also greatly enlivening for the devotees to hear when the Lord comes in different ways and inspires the hearts of his devotees. And Lord knows my devotees are very inspired when I perform these pastimes. In fact, the Lord's goal is also to capture the heart of the devotees and to increase their love for him. Why? Not to pose himself as the supreme enjoyer, but to exchange love with his devotees. Like somebody may ask a question, you know, let Lord be in the spiritual world and I be in the material world. Why should Lord come and interfere? Actually, in the exchange between Lord and the living being, lies the greatest treasure of bliss, ecstatic bliss. So the Lord comes here. He just doesn't ignore the living entities living in the material world. Because it is a jail, let them go to hell. No. Lord is coming there to interact with the living entities. He performs pastimes and tries to attract them. Many of them don't even understand also. Still the Lord performs pastimes. And there are fortunately some pure devotees in this world who understand these pastimes, assimilate it, apply it, and then they awaken their love for Krishna and then they also give it to others. So, here we find in Dwaraka Krishna expands into multiple forms of Krishna. Like these 16,000 gopis whom he married. Now each of them certainly looked different. They were not looking all the same. And here you find, Prabhupada mentions here, you see, the forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princess in different apartments were slightly different, just to match each and every one of them, he writes. Which means, ultimately for Krishna to expand in that way is not very difficult. Just like when he expanded as the covered boys when Brahma had stolen and hidden the covered boys. Krishna expanded himself into those covered boys, and all of them looked exactly the same. Somebody is thin and tall, somebody is stout and short, somebody has a raised nose, isn't it? Somebody has a big face, somebody has a small face. Every single detail of the covered boy was exactly taken care of when Krishna expanded. Yeah, it's not very difficult for Krishna. And also the way they would dress, the way they would walk, the way they would speak. Some of them had a thick voice, some of them had a thin voice. Everything was taken care of by Krishna, all the minutest details. There was only one big difference. What was the big difference? The covered boys on that day who returned home, they were not covered boys. Who were they? They were Krishna only. That was the one big difference. Otherwise Krishna, exactly looked like the covered boys. Actually, the Vrijavasis had a desire. One time, the mothers, the elderly gopis, that they were eager to feed milk to Krishna and tend to Krishna like their own child. That is the desire in Vatsalya Bhava. So in order to fulfill that desire, Krishna performed this leela. Now somebody may say, but this leela he performed for Brahma Vimohan pastime. How can it be connected? That is the beauty of Krishna. He can hit in one shot, he can hit 10 mangoes. He can do many things simultaneously. And also Krishna is very attentive to the desires of his devotees. He takes note, oh, this devotee is having that aspiration to serve me in this particular way. Okay, let me create that situation for this devotee to serve me. And then Krishna keeps it in the mind. And later on when the occasion came, then Krishna expanded himself. And he came back home. And all the gopis and the covered men and the lady wives, when they saw that child, they were feeling some extra love, enormous love they felt. During that 1 year, they served the child very carefully, attentively. Until one day Balaram detected why the fathers are showing so much affection for their children. They are showing too much affection. They are smelling the head of their children and embracing them. What is the reason for them to show too much love? At the time it was found. Krishna told Balaram what he did. You see? So here what is being explained is Krishna expanded as Krishna only. With slight differences. Why that slight difference? You will find whenever any boy and girl match is done, they see many things. For example, the boy shouldn't be too tall and girl is too short. Or girl is too tall and boy is short. They see that. Sometimes they see that, you know, the look should be quite similar. And they see the financial status of the family. They see the tastes. When Lord Ram was married to Sita, 5 matches were seen. Isn't it? Their age should be, the boy's age should be a little elder than the girl. And their form. If one is beautiful, the other one also be beautiful. If one is medium, the other should be medium also. So they will see the beauty, the age, the form, then the qualities, the behavior, all these things were. And Sita Ram, they were perfectly matching, it is said. Just like we say, in this world they call it as made for each other, they say. Of course, God was never made, He's always there. But they were perfectly matching. So, when Krishna was getting matched with these girls, he thought that, you know, the match should be perfect. So, he adjusted himself to look like a perfect match for every one of them. Sometimes people say, when they see a husband and wife, they say, oh, this is a perfect match, they say. So, Krishna and this lady, they were perfect match. So he made slight adjustment. If he could make himself into covered boys, such amazing forms, what is the difficulty for Krishna to do this? That's the meaning of God. So, this is one aspect of Krishna's greatness. How great he is that he can do such kind of miraculous things. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, in those teachings you find in Sanatana Goswami, when he's talking, he is elaborately explaining these expansions, how Krishna expanded in Dwaraka in this kind of forms. And he gave opportunity for every one of his queens to serve him. there is also one occasion in which the queens of Krishna, the top queens of Krishna, once they met and asked, "Hey, how did you marry Krishna?" And then one of the queens will narrate to the other queens. And then after she completes, and she will ask the other queens, "Please tell me, how did you get married?" So the top five queens, they were chief queens, and they all married Krishna in different ways. Like you'll find, I'll just narrate one pastime of one of the queens. She was daughter of Naganajit king. So she was called as Naganajiti. Or she was also called as Satya. So Krishna also decided to marry her, but she was a great devotee of Krishna. She was always thinking of Krishna, remembering Krishna, she was praying to Krishna. And her father, Naganajit, had 7 bulls. If one wanted to marry Satya, then they have to bridle the 7 bulls. They have to control the 7 bulls. many kings came, they tried, and they broke their hands and legs, and they had to be admitted in the hospital for orthopedic section. You know, they had to be, say, the bodies had to be set right. They never dared to come again. Many kings came and went. At last Krishna came. When Krishna came, the king Naganajit was very happy. He knew Krishna is Supreme Lord Narayana himself. He has come, he is the husband of Goddess of Fortune. So he welcomed them very much warmly with nice articles and worship paraphernalia and with nice delicious food preparations and everything. And Krishna also offered obeisances, you know, assuming that now he is my father-in-law now. Anyway, I am going to be his son-in-law now. So he offered obeisances in the mood of respecting one's father-in-law. Satya, she in her heart, she was thinking that if I have done any pious activities, and if I have performed all my worship of Krishna with my best sincerity, then may the Lord be pleased and accept me in hand. Like that she was praying. So this prayer was listened to by Krishna, because Krishna is super soul. So he also knew that she has the desire to marry me. So Krishna, you know, when he talked back to Naganajit, he told him that based on the wonderful reception that you gave me here, I assume that you and your daughter are very eager to accept me as a bridegroom. You want to accept me. So, I accept your daughter in marriage, but in our family the system is we don't give anything in return. So, I assume that you will not demand me to do anything to accept your daughter in marriage. So you will not put any condition. So you unconditionally give your daughter in marriage to me. So Krishna thought he can circumvent the 7 bull fight. But Naganajit said, "Oh my dear Lord, I know you are the Supreme Lord Narayana, you are the husband of Goddess of Fortune, you know, you are full of all transcendental opulences, you are full of oceanic qualities and everything." And then he said, "I have made up my mind. I will only give my daughter in marriage and to somebody who can control these bulls. Many kings are aspiring to marry my daughter. But I have not given my daughter to anybody because nobody could control these bulls." And he said, "I am very sure, I am very confident you will be able to control them. Please kindly fulfill my request." And Krishna understood that now he is bent upon his request. He is not going to spare me. Then he agreed. And then he looked at Satya. So, Satya knew Krishna already had many queens. And still she was very attached to Krishna because she knew Krishna is Supreme Lord. So, to give Satya the confidence that, you know, although I have many queens, don't think I will not give you attention. So, Krishna expanded into 7 forms. And each of those bulls, he caught hold of them by the rope and controlled them very easily, defeated them. All the pride of the bulls became completely vanquished by Krishna's power very soon, within a very short time. The father and daughter were so happy. So there Prabhupada writes that to satisfy Satya, Krishna expanded into 7 forms to show her that he has that ability. What to speak of seven, he expanded to 16,108 forms, one for each of the queens. So no queen was bereft of his association. In fact, every one of the queens thought, Krishna is with me only, and Krishna is nowhere else. So in this way, of course, he got married to Satya, and the king gave abundant dowry, you know, everything in multiple of 100, you know, he gave, you know, 9,000 chariots and 9 lakh, you know, elephants and 9 crore horses and infantry. It's all in multiplication of 9 lakh or something. So he gave all of it, and when Krishna got married to her and sat in a chariot and was going, all the other envious kings who were defeated, whose limbs were broken, you know, they along with their associates came to attack. They all made a big circle to attack Krishna. And Arjuna took his Gandiva bow. He attacked all of them in one after another. Without even killing one of them, he defeated all of them. Can you imagine? He didn't kill anybody. And he kept them all in bay, and Krishna and Satya, they boarded the chariot and they flew off from there. In this way, you find... Now somebody may ask, you know, why Krishna was afraid of the 7 bulls? He is not afraid. That is also one of his pastimes, to increase the pleasure of his devotees. When he performs this kind of pastime, devotees can have good humor, good fun. When Krishna is telling his would-be father-in-law that, you know, please kindly, you know, relieve me from this test, you know, as if he is afraid of the 7 bulls. Actually, Krishna is not afraid of anybody or anything. Because he is the source of all strength. And he did control the bull subsequently. In this way, he performs innumerable pastimes while marrying the queens. In fact, all the each and every one of the queens are sharing. Prabhupada was once talking to some disciples. He was telling, what is it like? It is like a devotee asking another devotee, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? And a devotee says, sometimes devotees say, oh, Krishna tricked me. And he got me into Krishna consciousness. And they say, how? Somebody came and gave me, you know, some special prasad from Hare Krishna temple, saying that it was their birthday. So I ate the prasad and I was clean bowl. I became Krishna devotee after that. Isn't it? Like somebody says, somebody arranged a marriage anniversary day in ISKCON temple. So they called me for a feast in Govindas. So I went there and then they gave me mala also along with that. Along with the feast. Like the different devotees, they shared with others how Krishna attracted them. To his lotus feet. Like Krishna, many times you find, and there are many other queens, Krishna picked them up and put them in the chariot and flew off from there, while many other kings had a fight. Just like he took away Rukmini. This is the prayer of a devotee. Krishna, please take me away from this world filled with jackals and, you know, such kind of creatures who want to hold me down in this world of Maya. So I am your property. Please take me away from all these things. Help me to uplift myself and come to your lotus feet. Actually, devotee aspires that let Krishna snatch me from Maya's hands. And take me back to his lotus feet and engage me in his service. like you know, when once Arjuna and Krishna, Arjuna went for hunting in the forest, Krishna went with them. When they were sitting, there was one young and attractive looking girl passing by with shining teeth. And Krishna told Arjuna, go and find out who it is. Arjuna went and asked her. He spoke to her and asked her, you seem to be roaming around searching for a husband. So who are you? You know, where are you from and all that. She said, I am Kalindi. And I am Suryaputri. And my father has made an abode for me under the waters in Yamuna. And residing there, I am constantly performing austerities to attain Krishna. And I have decided to lay down my life performing austerities until I achieve Krishna's lotus feet. And she said, you are Krishna's great devotee. So I have decided not to marry anybody besides Krishna. So you being great devotee of Krishna, if you recommend me, or if you bless me, then Krishna may be pleased with me, she said. You see, These pastimes are full of wonderful teachings. Krishna cannot be captured by anybody, by any amount of endeavor from our part. In fact, we find when Krishna is pleased with somebody, then Krishna comes to that person without any endeavor, without even any endeavor. For example, when Krishna came to Hastinapur, you know, why did he come to Hastinapur? Was he invited? No. This happens after they got the hand of Draupadi and they were living in their Indraprastha. Very wonderfully, opulently, Pandavas were living. At the time, Krishna came to Indraprastha, even without being invited. Simply out of love for his devotees. Just to see them, how they are doing. And then, of course, you know, their purpose says that Yudhishthira Maharaj and his brothers, they were completely free from material anxieties. And then Prabhupada says, anyone who is not Krishna conscious, they are subjected to the material contamination of the three modes and they will always be morose due to shoka, moha and bhaya. Lamentation, illusion, fear and all kinds of material contaminations. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was constantly remembering Krishna, so he was in bliss, all the spiritual bliss. So when Krishna came, that bliss even increased manifold, million times. Of course, Krishna came and touched Yudhishthira's feet. He embraced Arjuna and he accepted obeisance from Nakula, Sahadeva and all. There you will find how Kunti is speaking to Krishna, how Yudhishthira is speaking to Krishna. Very amazing. Very valuable lessons are taught there. You see, Yudhishthira is telling Krishna, my dear Lord, you know, many, many yogis in the forest are trying to capture you within their own hearts. They are meditating in their own hearts. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogino. The yogis are trying to see Krishna in their hearts and trying to trap him. But you are never capturable. You can never be caught. You are avajita, unconquerable. But I am surprised how you come to meet people like me and my brothers. We are always absorbed in politics. We are always absorbed in money matters and materialistic engagements. We are kings. We are Kshatriya kings. We are absorbed in materialistic affairs. And I don't know how, but you are so kind that you are coming and offering us this favor of your association. And you are so calmly sitting with us and chatting with us, talking with us, very casually, as if you have nothing urgent to do anywhere else. So like the Rishi Maharaj is very amazed by Krishna's coming. In fact, Krishna didn't answer this question, he just smiled. And also Kunti, when she talked to Krishna also, Krishna asked her, how are your sons? How is the kingdom? Is everything peaceful? Or any, you are facing any problem? Kunti said, you sent Akrura, and at that time I realized that we are not without your protection. You are constantly remembering us. You are worrying about us. You are thinking about us. She said, my dear Krishna, if those devotees who are constantly meditating on you, if they will be protected, what to speak of those whom you are meditating on? You are thinking of us, so where is the question of our not being protected? We will always be protected. Where can there be any question of inauspiciousness for your devotees whom you keep in one corner of your heart and you are thinking of them? So she said, we are most happy. We are in great ecstatic bliss, she said. So this is the mother Kunti and the son Yudhishthira Maharaj. Both of them were such pure devotees of Krishna. So, actually such great devotees' hearts are filled with remembrance of Krishna. So, on one hand, I was telling you that we have to know this kind of greatness of Krishna, you know, this kind of expansion, Prabhava, Vibhava, Vibhava Vilas, Vibhava Vilas and all these things. But mere knowledge of Krishna will not bestow Krishna to us in our life. Like you go in front of Radha Kunjabihari, even if you can capture the sight of the deities from top to bottom, either early in the morning or in the evening, whatever time, we may see the deity, but we may not have any realizations at all. Why? Because Prabhupada says, in one of the purports, he says, one who is not accustomed to serving the lotus feet of the Lord has no qualification to see the smiling face of the Lord, he says. So what is the meaning of that? That means Krishna has to be seen in a trance that is achieved by proper service attitude. Prabhupada uses the word trance. A devotee attains a state of trance that is bestowed upon the devotee by Krishna's mercy when he sees a certain type of service attitude in the heart of the devotee. In that ecstatic trance, a devotee is able to see the deities as Krishna, as Srimati Radharani, as persons who are accepting our prayer, accepting our service. One can see that. That is actually a very great blessing. So how can we achieve that platform of trance, ecstatic trance, even while being wide awake, even while walking, moving, eating, sleeping, doing activities? How can one achieve that state of samadhi or trance? I remember in this Pune Yatra, one of the years, Vishwanath Raghunath Maharaj was telling in that Yatra, that there are many yogis in Himalayas, sitting, plugging their nose and, you know, sitting erect in the chill climate of, you know, snow-capped mountains near Gangotri, Yamunotri. You find so many rishis, munis there, you find. And they are trying to attain samadhi. He said, that samadhi is no great, he said. On the other hand, this Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Mataji was telling, their samadhi, what they are doing, by dynamically acting and serving some 4,000 or 5,000 Vaishnavas, you know, by arranging prasad for them, coming, you know, months in advance and planning how to make every Vaishnava happy. This is real samadhi, he was telling. This is real samadhi. So, yeah, Krishna conscious devotee samadhi is a dynamic samadhi. He's very active, you know, distributing books, preaching, worshipping the deities, cutting the vegetables, you know, making garlands, you know, using all one's talent in Krishna's service with the desire should be there. What is the desire? To gain the favor of Krishna. Like this Kalindi is praying to Arjuna, hey Arjuna, you are the greatest devotee of Krishna. And then if you recommend my name to Krishna, maybe he will become pleased with me. Because Krishna takes the words of his pure devotees very seriously. So please give information to Krishna that I am constantly performing austerities to attain him as my husband. You go and tell him. And then as soon as Arjuna went and told Krishna, Krishna immediately accepted Kalindi as his wife. Immediately. So in this way, this state of ecstatic trance that Prabhupada is talking about in his purports, we are not talking about the bhava state. Bhava and prema is very far away. We are talking about even a neophyte devotee. A growing devotee can achieve this state of appreciating Krishna and Krishna consciousness. When Krishna perceives a certain type of service attitude in the heart of the devotee and a longing to attain Krishna by pleasing Krishna. But who will bestow it? Not Krishna directly. That is made possible by Krishna's pure devotee. Recently I was hearing a very interesting information, which I never heard before, when I was preparing for my Nectar of Devotion lectures. I heard that if somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, if somebody is rising early in the morning, even in Vrindavan, circumambulating over then, touching the waters of Radha Kund and sprinkling on the head, chanting even 64 rounds, and following all the 64 principles given by Rupa Goswami, one surely accumulates many, many sukriti, pious credits, bhaktivanmukha sukriti, undoubtedly. And if one is doing all these things, even throughout his life, like this, and then after doing all these things, if he didn't take diksha and didn't take shelter of a guru, the next lifetime, Krishna bestows him the opportunity to come across a Vaishnava to take diksha. Like that it is said. Which means, if one has not achieved diksha from a guru and taken shelter of a guru and become obedient to the guru's instructions, there is no entry into spiritual world. There is no entry into Vrindavan Dham, Krishna. So he says that. And then he says, why is it so? Because acharya mam bijaniyam na abhamanyeta karhichit. Krishna is saying the Acharya is as good as myself. I love him so much because he brings people back to me. And bringing people back to Krishna is not an easy thing. How much a guru struggles to convince a conditioned soul to purify his heart and by taking away all his sinful reactions and bringing him back to Krishna. It is so important to take shelter of a guru that even Krishna and Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they accept the guru. And they take shelter of guru to show the world that unless one becomes completely obedient to the instructions of the spiritual master and one gives up his false ego, there is no possibility of attracting Krishna's mercy. There is no possibility. So I was hearing from Isvalan Mahanadi Swami, he was telling. He said, even if one follows all the 64 regulative principles and lives in Vrindavan Dham, you know, there are many people who are doing it, he was telling. Many, many people. He said, yes, yes. All their hard work will not go in vain, he said. Surely after many lifetimes they will get the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and they will take Diksha. He says, that is the fruit of their endeavors, he said. But what about those who have already got Diksha of a Vaishnava Guru, Sadguru they have got? So he said, yes. Actually the Sadguru is a person who also is looking for a Sad disciple also. Because he is not happy to give shelter to anybody and everybody. He also is looking for the... So the disciple should search for a Sadguru and the Guru should search for a proper disciple. Then it will be proper. So he said, after taking Diksha, if one doesn't become obedient to the instructions of the spiritual master, then one may spend a long period of time for many, many lifetimes in the platform of Anartha Nivritti, he said. After Bhajana Kriya comes, Anartha Nivritti. So the duration of Anartha Nivritti depends on the sincerity of the disciple. The Anartha Nivritti becomes reduced if the disciple is very obedient and sincere, self-controlled and disciplined. Then when one pleases the heart of the guru, finished. So he was giving a nice example. He said, you know, sometimes you have a very big donor or well-wisher, you have been approaching, you know, many times and they have not given a single penny till now. You have given Rajabhog Prasad, you know. You have given them special Mahaprasad. You have given them invitation for many festivals. You try. They have not given a single penny. One day when you go to their house, you are seeing his child playing, you know. And then you give just a small gift to the child. Sometimes you give this Hanuman, or some kind of keychain or something. You give something to the child and the child becomes jubilant. He becomes very happy. So the child goes and tells the father, Papa, this gentleman is so nice. This uncle is very good. And the father becomes very happy by seeing the child very happy. Isn't it? And the father, if he is happy, what he will do in happiness, nobody can say. He may just take a check and write $20 million. Please take it. Because you have made my child so happy. Immediately he can give. He was selling. So, he was selling... Krishna is not a very easy to please person. It's very difficult because he has everything. What he doesn't have, he is the owner of everything. Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasambrahma Sevyamanam, all the thousands of Lakshmis are serving him. He is the master of all opulences. But there is one weakness Krishna has. See, if you want to attack a person, you have to know his weakness. Then very easily you can attack. What is his weakness? You know, He is very fond of his devotees. That is why, if you remember, we were discussing that if somebody is very detached from the material world, but they are not having any specific attraction for Krishna, you know, Krishna is not interested in them. But even if a person is struggling with his mind, with his senses, you know, he is falling and rising and trying to remember Krishna, but he is very fond of serving Krishna, serving devotees and attending Krishna. Krishna takes special interest in the devotee. So, the pure devotees are those who have given their hearts to Krishna, their lives to Krishna, their every moment to Krishna, all their energies to Krishna. And they have nothing separate from Krishna. They don't consider any separate existence from Krishna. So, such kind of devotees are very rare. And if one can get such a kind of devotee and take shelter of such a guru, then the next step would be, one should endeavor how to please such a guru. Because unless one can please a spiritual master, you know, the spiritual master sometimes, you know, may tolerate a devotee's, devotee's behavior. If somebody says, I have behaved till now in such a way that I never got a scolding from my spiritual master, that is not a very glorious thing. Sometimes spiritual master may not scold a person because he may think the person is not mature enough to get a scolding. Is it not true? Just like new people who come, you just pat on their back, isn't it? And you appreciate them even if they chant half a round or one round. Does it mean that you are very pleased with them? You know that this person is caught up with so many things. Every time he gives excuses, reasons for not becoming serious in Krishna consciousness, still you don't discourage them, because sometimes you correct a person if a person is doing wrong. For example, if you watch for some time, slowly you may correct, but you correct them, they give up the right thing also. If you are chanting only one round, Prabhu, why don't you increase to four rounds? Then they will stop coming to temple. That is why sometimes you just pat a person, leave him. But after a person grows, then one may get some chastisement, corrections. And then a stage may come and Guru is completely pleased with the disciple. Just like Sandipani Muni told Krishna, I am completely pleased with you and Sudama. The Guru was completely pleased. Like Madhavendra Puri told Ishwarapuri, oh my dear child, I am so pleased with you. He said, I bestow Krishna prema upon you. So may your heart become filled with love for Krishna. That's all. When he gave that blessing, Ishwarapuri felt ecstatic bliss. And so much so that the Supreme Lord decided to take Diksha from Ishwarapuri. Make him his spiritual master. You see? So, the wisdom about Krishna, the knowledge about Krishna is there in the books. And it will remain in books. And it will not enter the hearts unless one is accustomed to serving the lotus feet of the Lord by pleasing his pure devotees. And by making strenuous endeavor to understand the heart of pure devotees and how to please them. And by remolding oneself, adjusting oneself, and try to please. Then the result would be eventually, when Krishna is pleased, then he starts revealing himself. Because the Shastras always use the word revelation. They don't say you can capture Krishna. They only say Krishna will reveal himself. Prakashante Mahatmanaha. So, these queens, who are they? They are not ordinary people. You see, even when a living entity becomes purified, he takes shelter of a guru. We attain our Swarupa. That is not the ultimate. Even attaining Swarupa is not the ultimate. After we attain our Swarupa, what is Swarupa? Yeah, like one knows one is a gopi in Vrindavan or one is a gopa in Vrindavan. Even after, when Guru reveals the devotee that, you should follow these procedures, and then one may follow those procedures and come to a state where one may even know one's Swarupa. When one leaves the body, then again one is taking birth in some Bhauma Vrindavan, where one has to take birth from the womb of a gopi. And after taking that birth, then one has to get apprentice training in rendering service to Krishna by being in touch with directly the Vajabhasis. And then one gets a deha, that is called as Vastu Deha. The Vastu Deha is the ultimate spiritual body. Just like Krishna is called as the Vastava Vastu. Similarly, we also have Vastu Deha in the spiritual world, in which we can eternally serve Krishna. So you will find, in all through this, one is being guided by the Guru. How to approach Krishna, how to serve Krishna, and how to attract the attention of Krishna, how to become recognized by Krishna. Then only one can attain that stage. So these queens are not ordinary queens. See, these gopis, we may think that they were put in the jail, they were suffering, and then Krishna just accidentally came there and delivered them. No. Those who have been married to Krishna, they have many, many billions of lifetimes. One has performed so many activities at last to come to a point where one can get access to even see Krishna face to face and become an object of mercy of Krishna to get married. In fact, for those who have served Krishna for many, many millions of lifetimes, when they at last come to Krishna, Krishna gives them such intimacy as what a wife gets from a husband. Krishna becomes the husband of his queens in Dwaraka. These queens in Dwaraka must have been rishis and munis many, many millions of lifetimes. And they must have performed yajna, dana, tapa. And they must have performed jnana, jnana yoga, and ashtanga yoga, and all these things. At last they have come to a point where, like kritapunya punja, he said. Sakam vijaru kritapunya punja. Their spiritual credits have become ripe now. Like a ripe mango is very sweet. Similarly, after doing all these things for a million lives, now their heart has developed such a platform of service attitude, seva bhav. Every moment they are remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna. And then Krishna accepts them as his wife. And then Krishna starts serving them. How he serves them? Like you find how Krishna served Sudama, or how Krishna accepted service from his queens. You know, when he would return back from his palace to the home, you know, the queens would wash his feet and give him tambul, and they would dress his hair. Yeah, they would feed him prasad. In such a close vicinity, rendering the services. Like, you know, you tell a conditioned soul that the queens of Dwaraka are so fortunate to serve Krishna so closely, they will wonder what is so great about it. You know. Because the serving somebody itself is not a very impressive idea for a conditioned soul. Serving somebody, what to speak of serving Krishna, even serving somebody else also is not very impressive for a conditioned soul. That is why the service is given so much stress. When we, first of all, we need somebody in this world whom we will agree to abide by and be obedient to, and we want to serve. Is it not true in this world? Actually, the conditioned soul, the only thing he wants is everyone should serve me. And I will not serve anybody. Everyone should please me. I will not please anybody. I am the master, I am the center, and everyone else is my servant. Everything and everyone should be aligned and arranged to please me and my senses. So for such a condition, so that's why we have to begin with Sevon Mukehi Jihvadav Swayameva Suratyada. We begin from that point and then start rendering little service. Navida Bhakti we do. And then at least in our heart we should feel a great appreciation. Oh, how wonderful it is that the queens of Dwaraka are serving Krishna personally. They are asking all the servant maids to go away and they are personally serving. They are fanning Krishna. They are washing Krishna's feet. They are feeding him prasad, tambul, dressing his hair, putting his mukut. They are personally serving Krishna like that. And all the queens are dressing up themselves also very attractively. With the finest of the saris and jewelry and ornaments. And they are all... such a beautiful woman decorated with good qualities is called as a Stri Ratnam, the Shastra. So such a, they are Lakshmis, Mahalakshmis, every one of them. And with their feminine bashful smiles, they are trying to attract Krishna, but Krishna, as you know, actually for Krishna, whether it is a queen of Dwaraka or a gopi of Vrindavan, Prabhupada says there is no difference between service rendered by a calf in Vrindavan and service rendered by Radharani. Prabhupada saying, can you imagine? All the services are absolute. Krishna accepts the service given by a calf in the same manner as he accepts service from Radharani or Gopal, anybody like that. Basically, Krishna, you know, tunes himself to satisfy the intense desires of his devotees to serve him. Like in this verse we saw just now, you know, Krishna even changes his form slightly to suit the each of the, you know, queens who wanted to marry him, you see. Which means Krishna, Krishna is really intent. This is Krishna's service to them. Is it not true? Krishna doesn't keep himself unapproachable to his devotee. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav. In the Vedas, you know, Vedas may recite mantras and all those things, but they can't approach this Krishna so easily. But one who is atma bhakta, one who is dear devotee of Krishna, they can very easily approach Krishna by their seva bhav, by the service attitude. And our seva bhav will be intensified by the blessings and mercy and guidance of the spiritual master. And then when the seva bhav becomes intensified, Krishna immediately takes notice. Here is the soul whose seva bhav has become intensified. Wherever Krishna is, he will come to the devotee. The devotee need not worry, you know, how will I send the news to Krishna that I have now become a first class devotee now. And maybe Krishna may not be aware. No. The five queens who married Krishna, they all were, you know, daughters of great kings, and they had aspiration to marry Krishna. And they were all great devotees of Krishna, intense devotees of Krishna. Now, did they go searching for Krishna? Krishna came to them. And Krishna at the appropriate time came to them. So if a devotee has the right seva bhava, right service attitude, which is also a blessing. When one continues serving the spiritual master, one gets the right type of attitude also eventually. And all wrong types of attitude go away. Prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinasha jate. Then Krishna takes notice. One more thing we learn from this series of verses here is that Krishna makes himself available to those who consider themselves fallen, who consider themselves sinful wretches, or who consider themselves lowly, and who express their heartfelt need for Krishna's company. For them, Krishna makes himself available. So you find Krishna is called as a Dina Bandhu. What is the meaning of Dina Bandhu? He is the Bandhu of the Dina. Yeah, he is the friend of the fallen. Isn't it? He is called as Anatha Rakshaka. Anatha Rakshaka means one who is wandering in this world like an orphan. And one who begs Krishna, please kindly keep me in your shelter. So any devotee whose heart has attained that quality, where one feels, I am not complete without my surrender to Krishna. I feel some incompleteness in my heart without surrender to Krishna. I feel, I am like a destitute. I am unworthy, I am fallen. And I need Krishna's mercy. Anybody who gets that type of desire, they have a certain quality of heart that is fit for attracting Krishna. You will always find that. You see, Draupadi is calling, or Gajendra is calling, or Uttara is calling. And Krishna is immediately there, those who are calling him. And the Pandavas like Yudhishthira Maharaj. You'll find amazingly that the Pandavas were all very competent. Yudhishthira Maharaj is, expert in throwing javelin. That spear throwing. Bhima is very expert in mace fighting. Like that, every one of them. Arjuna for archery, Nakul Sahadev for sword fighting and all. But although they were very great heroes, somehow it's very amazing that they never became proud. They never thought they can exist independent of Krishna. They always felt, whatever we are able to do, it's all Krishna's mercy. And Krishna only has given us the talent, and any time he can take it away. Like Krishna empowered Arjuna for the Kurukshetra battle, then he took away the empowerment to show the world that Arjuna could do all these things by Krishna's empowerment. So, a devotee constantly is in a mood of gratitude Krishna is, like Kunti Maharani said, we don't know Krishna, what is our qualification, but you are so kind that even you are thinking of us. Although we might have forgotten you sometimes, but you are always thinking of our welfare. So we are always very fortunate to be blessed by you. And Yusuf Maharaj is also thinking the same thing. So Yusuf Maharaj is feeling, I am a politician, we are dealing with materialistic affairs of the state. Talking about all the materialistic activities of the kingdom. What kind of devotees are we? Yusuf is feeling. Yudhishthira is not feeling, I am a pure devotee, I am a great devotee. He's not feeling at all. And then Krishna takes note of such a quality of consciousness. And then immediately, Krishna on his own comes. So these gopis, these princesses whom Krishna met, who were locked up in the jail of Bhaumasura, they were also like that. In fact, in their hearts they were feeling, oh, this Bhaumasura has touched us and he has brought us here. Now who will marry us? We have become simply useless in our lives. Nobody will marry us and we have no future, we have no life. And when Krishna came and saved them, they all took shelter of Krishna helplessly. And then Krishna told them, don't worry, I am there for you. You see, it's like the magnet, like poles, repel. opposite poles attract. Like, see, Krishna is the enjoyer. If a jiva also says, "I, Krishna, I am also an enjoyer," Krishna says, "Get lost." You know. If somebody tries to become a hero, a competitor of Krishna, then Krishna says, Prabhupada asked this Giriraj Maharaj, right? When Giriraj Maharaj first went and asked Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, so many people teach so many things, whom to follow, I don't know. And Prabhupada straight away asked him, "Do you want to become God or do you want to serve God?" And Giriraj Swami asked, what a brilliant question. Nobody in this world asked me this question. Because we all have a secret desire to play God, play the role of God. Especially when you get success after success, you know, and our senses, recently I was reading in one Prabhupada purport, Prabhupada says, if we use our senses in materialistic activities, they become impure. That's one thing we all know. They are called as Kadindriya. Not only that, he also says, the senses will bestow you identification with matter, he says. So that identification with matter will make us hold on to the upadhis. See, I am like, I am temple president of Pune. Now if I am engaging my senses in materialistic activities, two things happen. The senses become impure and the senses will also make me identify with this temporary truth that I am temple president. You understand? Now same way you all can apply in your lives. Prabhupada says this. On the other hand, you take the senses and engage it in the service of the master of senses, Krishna. Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchi. When you do that, what happens? The senses become pure and we become relieved of the material upadhis. And what happens? We remember that, oh, I am Guru Das, I am Krishna Das, I am Vaishnava Das, I am Dasana Das. We think like that. I have no upadhis in this world. And all the upadhis are temporary. We can understand that very clearly. So then one can get the quality of consciousness that is necessary for approaching Krishna. Or in other words, not approaching Krishna, for Krishna to recognize us and come to us. So these princesses locked up in the jail of Bhaumasura, they all had the particular state of consciousness necessary for Krishna to come. Otherwise, why should Krishna come? If somebody thinks, I am potent, I am powerful, you know, I am competent, you know, I have all the good qualities, you know, I am a wonderful Vaishnava, and Krishna says, get lost. Okay, you are thinking you are wonderful, okay, you be wonderful yourself. So Prabhupada asked him, do you want to become God or do you want to serve God? And Prabhupada said, if you want to serve God, then God will send a guru to you in your life. And Guru will give you Diksha and he'll give you Bhakti Lata Beej. He'll sow it in your heart. And then you can also water it every day. How? By hearing and chanting. And then Krishna will give sunlight, which is his Nirupadi Kripa will come. And that is sunlight. So you get sunlight, you get water, and you have the seed. It's all a favorable thing. Very nicely your bhakti can grow, the plant will grow and go to the spiritual world and produce Krishna Prema fruit. But if you want to become God, why should God encourage the competition? Prabhupada asked. So you are trying to become another God, just like the Pandraka fellow. Pandraka was trying to play Krishna's role as God. So this is also one lesson we learned from this series of verses. At least, although it may be difficult for us, we can appreciate what is the type of mood that Krishna wants us to cultivate for us to be able to attract His mercy.
Ekana bujinu prabhu tomara charana ashoka bhaya amrita purna sarva khana सकल छड़िया तुवा चरण कमाले पड़िया अमीना था तब पद तले अमित पद्मनाभ
Amitabha Nityadasa. Janeno Rakibo. Janeno Yeivaro. Amala Palana Bara. Ekana Tomara. Bada Dukha Paiyachi. Svatantra Jivani. Dukkha dure gelo, o padavarane. You see, it's a very beautiful song it is. Huh? This is in Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Ekana bhujinu prabhu. So, my dear Krishna, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Huh? And your lotus feet are bestowing the amrita khana. Huh? It is like amrita varsha. So, your shelter is so soothing. So wonderful. I have given up everything of this world and come to your lotus feet to permanently stay with you. And I have been given a pratyaksha, practical experience of what it means to be independent of you. Enough of this experience. Now please accept me in the shade of your lotus feet. So that is why Ado Guru Padashray, Shadharma Pracha, Vishtambena Guru Seva, Sadhu Margana Gamanam, and all these things come in the first 4-5 principles of 64 principles. So, Prabhupada says, one should remember the spiritual master 3 times a day, morning, afternoon and evening. Dhyayam stuvam stasya yashas. Yes. But then Prabhupada says, that is official. But on a practical level, the remembrance of Guru should be continual, he says. Should be continuous. Always. Because a disciple has no other separate existence in this world, other than to serve the lotus feet of Guru. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vinda ki. Thank you very much.